A minute or two passed in silence as Thomas processed the information. They made a couple more turns. He wondered about the changing and what it meant, and for some reason, he kept thinking of the girl.
"Weird, though," Minho finally continued. "We've never talked about this before. If he's still alive, there's really no reason to think Albi can't be saved by the serum. We somehow got it in our clunk heads that once the doors closed, you were done. End of story. I gotta see this hanging on the wall thing myself. I think you're shucking me."
The boys kept walking, Minho almost looking happy, but something was nagging at Thomas. He'd been avoiding it, denying it to himself. "What if another griever got Albi after I diverted the one chasing me?" Minho looked over at him, a blank expression on his face.
"Let's just hurry, is all I'm saying," Thomas said, hoping all that effort to save Albi hadn't been wasted.
They tried to pick up the pace, but their bodies hurt too much, and they settled back into a slow walk despite the urgency. The next time they rounded a corner, Thomas faltered, his heart skipping a beat when he saw movement up ahead. Relief washed through him an instant later when he realized it was Newt and a group of gladers. The west door to the glade towered over them, and it was open. They'd made it back. At the boys' appearance, Newt limped over to them.
"What happened?" he asked. He sounded almost angry. "How in the bloody—"
"We'll tell you later," Thomas interrupted. "We have to save Albi."
Newt's face went white.
"What do you mean? He's alive?"
"Just come here."
Thomas headed to the right, craning his neck to look high up at the wall, searching along the thick vines until he found the spot where Albi hung by his arms and legs far above them. Without saying anything, Thomas pointed up, not daring to be relieved yet. He was still there, and in one piece, but there was no sign of movement. Newt finally saw his friend hanging in the ivy and looked back at Thomas. If he'd seemed shocked before, now he looked completely bewildered.
"Is he alive?"
"Please let him be," Thomas thought.
"I don't know. Was when I left him up there."
"When you left him?"
Newt shook his head.
"You and Minho get your butts inside. Get yourselves checked by the medjacks. You look bloody awful. I want the whole story when they're done and you're rested up."
Thomas wanted to wait to see if Albi was okay. He started to speak, but Minho grabbed him by the arm and forced him to walk toward the glade.
"We need sleep and bandages. Now."
And Thomas knew he was right. He relented, glancing back up at Albi, then following Minho out and away from the maze. The walk back into the glade and then to the homestead seemed endless. A row of gladers on both sides gawking at them. Their faces showed complete awe, as if they were watching two ghosts strolling through a graveyard. Thomas knew it was because they'd accomplished something never done before, but he was embarrassed by the attention. He almost stopped walking altogether when he spotted Galli up ahead, arms folded and glaring, but he kept moving. It took every ounce of his willpower, but he looked directly into Galley's eyes, never breaking contact. When he got to within 5 feet, the other boy's stare fell to the ground. It almost disturbed Thomas how good that felt. Almost. The next few minutes were a blur. Escorted into the homestead by a couple of medjacks, up the stairs, a glimpse through a barely ajar door of someone feeding the comatose girl in her bed, he felt an incredibly strong urge to go see her, to check on her, into their own rooms, into bed, food, water, bandages. Pain. Finally, he was left alone, his head resting on the softest pillow his limited memory could recall. But as he fell asleep, two things wouldn't leave his mind. First, the word he'd seen scrawled across the torso of both beetle blades, "Wicked," ran through his thoughts again and again. The second thing was the girl. Hours later, days for all he knew, Chuck was there, shaking him awake. It took several seconds for Thomas to get his bearings and see straight. He focused in on Chuck, groaned,
"Let me sleep, you shank."
"I thought you'd want to know."
Thomas rubbed his eyes and yawned.
"Know what?"
He looked at Chuck again, confused by his big smile.
"He's alive," he said. "Albie's okay. The serum worked."
Thomas's grogginess instantly washed away, replaced with relief. It surprised him how much joy the information brought. But then Chuck's next words made him reconsider.
"He just started the changing."
As if brought on by the words, a blood-chilling scream erupted from a room down the hall.